Jesus was right there with me. I prayed every day, probably most of the days, and just thinking, I just can't make it one more day. I remember so many days thinking, this is it. I just cannot do this anymore, Lord.
Allie's husband was an alcoholic and verbally abusive. She wanted to leave him, but a Focus on the Family broadcast convinced her to stay.
So I decided, okay, God, I'll be the witness you want me to be. You need to help me. You need to be that person that I need as a husband and a father for my children to help me know what I should do.
I'm Jim Daly. Thanks to the generosity of friends like you, Focus on the Family was there to strengthen and save Allie's family. We gave her hope for a better future, and today, her marriage is thriving. Working together, we can help more families like Allie's, bringing God's truth to desperate situations. Give today at focusonthefamily.com/realfamilies.
Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast. You can find more helpful advice at focusonthefamily.com/parentingpodcast.
In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, we read, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And many are familiar with that verse, but during heated moments with your kids, it can be so hard not to react with harsh words and to stir up anger. I'm John Fuller with Dr. Danny Huerta, who's the Vice President of Parenting and Youth here at Focus on the Family. And today we're going to hear a conversation Jim Daly and I had with authors Amber Leah and Wendy Speak, who are very honest about their own struggles with anger. They gave some helpful tips for handling back-talking and whining in a more positive, godly way.
Let's talk about back-talking. Okay, every mom just leaned in. Yes, that's my problem. I have an 8-year-old. I have a 12-year-old.
Yes. I mean, whenever. A teenager.
But, okay, what's happening in the dynamic? Let's dissect it almost clinically and then talk practically about how to ease the back-talking moment.
Yeah, sure. When our kids back-talk, our tendency is to talk back. In like, you know, they come at us with negative energy and we dish it back because we are bigger and we are stronger. And so whatever they've brought to us, we can do. And the same is true, of course, with a slamming door or a nasty face or impatient sighs. You know, they do wrong. And so we respond in like. But I mean, let's just take it right to the word of God. And we know over and over and over again that the children of Israel dished it out to their heavenly father. And God was long suffering. He was patient. Romans 2:4 says it was the kindness of the Lord that has led them us to repentance. And could it be that the kindness of a mother or father has more power to lead a child to repentance than talking back in like to their back talk? So I'm not saying this is permissive parenting. Absolutely. You don't get to back talk.
But don't respond in like.
But we don't need to respond in like. So I can very clearly prepare what I'm going to say when someone speaks to me in an unkind way. Just like if I had a work colleague that was rude to me, I would say, you know, that makes me feel awful, or I respond rude back. I need to prepare before I go back to work tomorrow. When they do that, what am I going to say?
Well, it's an important thing to describe, too. Why? Why are we, as parents, responding that way? I mean, you're mom, so speak from the mom perspective.
Well, I think that it's disrespectful, absolutely, and we're ready for them to grow up. And I also think that our expectations are we never expected our little person, whom we love
not
and adore.
Our little child.
And we spend our energy working to serve and love. So when they do it, it's very hard to not take it personally, to not feel victimized. And I don't know if you've heard this term, hurt people hurt people.
Oh, yes.
And so I think that the mom who says, but I was never yelled at and I've never yelled at anybody, or I was yelled at and I swore I never would. And then all of a sudden it snaps and something comes out of your mouth. Well, we get hurt feelings too. And so I think that Amber says it in Triggers. She says, we need to change our mind about what a trigger is. A trigger isn't an opportunity to be angry. And a trigger is an opportunity to parent. So when they hurt our feelings, if it would trigger in us a red flag that, oh, that child needs some parenting.
Yes.
This is not about me. This is about them. And I'm the mom for the job. I'm going to go help that child. No, that is not the way that they get to talk to
me. But of course, the question is, and I'm asking this on behalf of all the moms listening right now, how do you step back from that precipice of emotion? Because you're getting it right
to you.
Yeah.
Well, and you're going, okay, little one, I can win at this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wham. Yeah. How do you step
and,
back?
And so that backtalk piece, along with the feelings of being disrespected that they're talking back to you, is a really visceral thing. Like, our bodies literally tense up.
Oh, emotions, boom.
Emotions. We feel like we're just going to literally blow our tops. You know, that's an expression for a reason. Right. And so my body, I can feel it tighten and stiffen. And that's even actually a clue to me now that I do need to calm myself down. So I take a deep breath, first of all, when they start talking back to me and being disrespectful. And I did a study on, you know, what does respect mean in the Bible? What does that term mean? And really, it's about placing a value of importance on the other person.
Yes.
Really, it's kind of the golden rule. It's treating others as you would want to be treated. It's valuing them more than yourself. And so when my kids are not doing that, I literally have to plan, like Wendy said. You have to plan ahead outside of conflict and think to yourself, okay, I'm going to remain calm, and then I'm going to speak the truth in love to my child. So it's not that I'm just going to let them back talk to me. I'm not going to yell and scream at them and join them in the fight. I'm going to say to them, Oliver, the way that you're talking to me right now simply is disrespectful, and I don't deserve that. And it's not something that I know is really who you want to be as someone who's learning about Jesus yourself and wanting to be like him. So let's take a break, and we'll come back together again in a few minutes, and then you can talk to me in a normal voice, and we can figure out what the problem, real problem
sure.
is.
So your question was, what do you say when you feel it coming up? You know,
right.
when you feel it rising
yeah.
up. And I think that we have two suggestions for that. The first is stop your roll. So slow down. Lord, slow me down. Or as Amber and I say, take a holy pause. And then consider the right response. Now, it is okay to not respond right away to your child, to say, you know what? I am not ready to respond kind and calm to you. That hurt my feelings. I need you to spend some time in your room while I figure out how I'm going to respond to you. And that's okay. But I would also say the slowing down means, hey, I see that I have this recurring issue with that child.
Right.
I'm going to plan a response. So one of the quotes from Triggers is, figure out what you mean to say before you say something mean.
Yeah.
And then I say, slow down. Sit down and write down, like actually do the work. I mean, if we say we really, really value how we build our children up rather than tear them down, then find 15 minutes when you're not triggered and consider, with the Lord's help, give me wisdom, Lord, what's a better way to respond? And get together with their other parent and say, how do we want to respond? Because he or she has the tendency to talk to us like this. How do we want to call them up into better behavior rather than talking back to their back talk?
Yeah, we're modeling for them what we're asking of them. And that's so important, because if we were to just yell back and say mean things and not have a plan in place for when these triggered moments come up, then we're really being kind of hypocritical. And that's the last thing I want to be as a mom. I'm not saying we have to be perfect, not at all. But I want to be speaking to my child respectfully and calmly, because that's how I want them to talk to me.
That's so true. And unfortunately, I think for moms particularly, this is what I've noticed, is when they blow it, they heap a ton of guilt onto themselves.
Huge.
More than dads, in my opinion. I think dads are like, well, they deserved it, and then you walk away. We just kind of tend to compartmentalize, which is our, you know, our...
I know my husband would agree with you.
And,
you know,
and
he can move
on.
He's like, well, he shouldn't have been stupid.
You feel guilty, and then you want to fix it. But I think I just want to drive that point home for the mom that consistently is blowing it.
Mm-hmm.
She is reacting emotionally for all the reasons that we talked about. To give her those handles to be able to back up. And I like the idea of think about it before you're in the conflict.
Yeah.
And then that moment of truth, you've got to say, I need a deep breath. I need to back off here. And even express it if you need to, as you just gave us that example. That's so easy to hear, but yet oftentimes so hard to do.
It is, unless you plan it.
So plan it and
so
practice
you've got
it.
To
and
plan
then practice,
it and practice
yeah.
it. And then the other thing I do is I ask for forgiveness when I missed it.
Which is
a
so good for the kids to hear.
Yeah. Well,
so
and
good.
Just recently, I've had to ask for forgiveness for different things as they're growing up.
That's good.
So my 15-year-old, I just recently said, you know, the way that I'm correcting your speech has been mocking you. And you've communicated that to me, and I haven't changed my tone with you. And I'm sorry. That's wrong. I would never let someone speak to you that way, the way that I have been. And so would you please forgive me? And he forgave me.
Yeah.
And then a couple months later, I did it again. And I came back and I said, I did it again. I'm sorry. I'm going to make a plan mm-hmm. to now not correct your speech mm-hmm. because I've learned that I haven't yet learned how to do it in a respectful way. Yeah. So I'm not going to do it
at
all.
Wow, what great modeling. Yeah. Wow.
Some great advice from our guest today. And it really does help to have a plan to be less reactionary when the moment comes, Danny. And I wonder if you could give us some examples of, you know, kind of what to aim for. Like, what's a good response when my kids are whining and complaining? Like, one time my daughter said, "Camping again? I don't want to go camping." And I can have, you know, some good reasons that she needs to go camping, but what's a better way to respond?
A lot of times they come out of nowhere, right, Sean?
Yes, that was unexpected.
You're not prepared for the margin it's going to take emotionally to respond to that in the moment. And you're surprised by it, caught off guard. It is good to have a plan in place, but it's even more important to understand where it's coming from. Your kids are trying to navigate their emotional world that is very tumultuous. It's a strong component. That's the part of their brain that's fully developed. And the part of the brain to handle that is not. And that's where you come in as a parent. You get to help them learn how to navigate these big emotions that they're feeling. And so you can, especially with young kids, you can say, "Wow, that is a big emotion you've got under there. What's going on? Help me hear that. This is one way to look at it. Help me see more of your thought bubbles there, of what you're seeing. Because I want to understand that and help you learn how to navigate that. I'm not here to make you happy, but I'm here to guide and teach you along the way." And it seems that this is really upsetting you. It's taking happiness away. It's taking life away from the moment for you. I want to be very life-giving to you right now. And so let's begin to kind of challenge what you think is unfair right now, or what you think should be different. And maybe we could use the word "could" instead. It could be this way. And this is how you're going to handle that if it's that way. And so take the time. It's very inconvenient initially, but you're teaching them a life lesson that will help them navigate relationships, adversity, and other things. It's very worthwhile. Just realize that if you're having marital issues or stress from work or other things, your first reaction is probably going to be either sarcasm or truly a reaction. What you're looking for is a response in a teaching moment. And some parents are very creative as they get in that teaching mode. You know, sometimes they'll put glasses on, or they'll put a pin on or something, just to remind themselves, I need to teach something here.
I need to be the parent here.
Yes.
So what age were you thinking of when you gave us that response a moment ago of, you know, "Here's what I want to do. I'm not here to make you happy"? Are you thinking like 9 or 10 or 11?
Well, even as early as 6.
Okay.
6 years old, going up to 12, and when you get into the teen years.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yes. I mean, but it's more conversational teen years.
So bring it down to those earlier ages, 3, 4, 5. What do I say there? Because they're not going to understand a lot of, you know, what we've been talking about to this point.
A lot of times it's just being present. Ask for more. Yeah, they love asking questions. You can ask them questions.
So you're whining a lot. What's that about?
Yeah, hey,
I mean,
you really want this.
Direct way.
You want this. And like, let's say you're at the store and they're whining for a toy, and that's a common one. "Oh, I want that. That's unfair." That you want to be present with that. Maybe you guys could stand there and just stare at it for a while and just dream about it together for a little bit and just let him know, hey, that's where it's going to stay. And if he's crying, that's great. You guys can just sit, maybe even sit in just cross-legged or in the moment, just sit down and just look at it.
It's not quite so light, but I had a child who was uncontrollably distraught about something. I did not know what. And he just sat down in the aisle along the toilet paper and household supplies, and he wouldn't budge. He just sat there screaming. And I decided I would just walk away and see what happened. And he just kept it up until I rounded the corner, and then he stopped.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, okay, well, there's something going on, and it's not like he stepped on a nail or something. It's not like he's really in pain. He's trying to express something, and I went back and got him. I didn't leave him there. But, boy, there are moments when a small child in particular doesn't know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on, and so it's really hard to figure that out.
And, John, where it gets complex as well is personality differences. Some kids do respond better to parents' responsive behaviors. For some that are much more stubborn type personality, strong-willed, it becomes a battle in that moment. And that could be a whole nother podcast, just talking through that one. That's the hardest one. Some other kids, you're right, they catch up and they calm down. And so that's another complexity a parent has to manage.
The whole overarching message here is, Danny, make sure that you're thoughtful about what happens when, and that you have some good, reasoned responses to a child's seemingly unreasonable whining and backtalk.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for more practical help, as you've heard today, get in touch with us here at Focus on the Family. We've got so much in the way of resources, videos, articles, books, and more. We would point to the book by Amber and Wendy, from whom we heard earlier. It's called Triggers, Exchanging Parents' Angry Reactions for Gentle Biblical Responses. And that's our thank you gift when you join the support team here at Focus on the Family. Today, we rely on your generosity to make podcasts like this and to keep all those resources moving and into the hands of parents who need them. So please donate generously today, and we'll send that book, Triggers, to you. Call 800-A-FAMILY or look for details in the episode notes. Well, next time we'll have advice from Danny and Jesse Manassian about teaching your kids a biblical vision for sexuality. For now, I'm John Fuller, and on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
Parents, are you looking for an informative, encouraging, and engaging resource for your teen daughter? Check out the new and improved Brio magazine from Focus on the Family. Almost double the original size in a book-like format, this trusted, biblically-based magazine provides teen girls with inspiring stories, fashion advice, cultural insights, and positive role models. Help your teen girl live out her faith. Subscribe at BrioMagazine.com. That's BrioMagazine.com.